Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Let her rip.
Broadcasting from Cincinnati,
you're listening to the Ringside Reporter Podcast. All the news from the world of boxing right here.
Well, I'm talking to you the way I want to talk to you.
Now, here's your host, Eric Lorda.
And we are live. Welcome to the Ringside Reporter Show, where we talk about the latest boxing news. If it's related to boxing, we'll talk about it here. My name is Eric Lorta, and I'm here with my co-host, Joe Habib. We have a great show for you today, and if you want to call and ask questions, you can call in right now at 323-870-3857. And we'll be here till about 8 o'clock tonight. We'll get you out of here by 8 tonight so you can watch the Fox card. So tonight, we're going to talk about Terrence Crawford and Kell Brook may be very close to happening. We'll give you all the details. That's an exciting one. Also, NBC returns to boxing. We'll give you the whole rundown on that one. But first, let's get started with the big fight this weekend. It was a big fight for this weekend anyway. Jermell Herring versus Jonathan Oquendo. So Jermell Herring, he wins a disqualification over Jonathan Oquendo in the eighth round. Oquendo is the kind of fighter that comes in head first. He actually reminds me a little bit of Sean Porter, just not nearly as talented. Herring was winning the fight. I thought he was winning the fight. I didn't have it scored, but just like, you know, the running the eye test, I thought Herring was winning, but he was having a little tougher time than he should have, I thought, against Oquendo, man. Herring caught him with a left. It looked like a hook slash uppercut in the third round that dropped Oquendo. In the fifth round, Herring suffered a cut from a headbutt that was actually ruled intentional. You know, I'd have to look at the I'm watching it in real speed. I actually didn't get a chance to see it. But
I didn't think it was intentional at all. I mean, after you finish what you have to say, I'm gonna give you my opinion on the way the whole situation was handled, because I think it was a F show, if you want to know the truth.
Yeah, you know, I didn't see anything that was, you know, it wasn't like when you go back to that Mayweather, who was that fight against where he hit that
Victor Ortiz,
yeah. That was vicious, you know, when he tried to hit him with his head. I didn't see that here.
Well, here's the thing. If you're in the process of, and you're in the motion, you're in a forward motion, right? And you're coming forward and you're throwing a punch. And as you're throwing a punch, you're leaning forward. That's just incidental contact. That's just the way, like Tim Bradley was the same way. Like he threw his right hand and he would just lean in. Bernard Hopkins, same thing. Even Andre Ward at times would do that. So there's a difference between moving forward and positioning your body and attacking and throwing a punch and, you know, you're leaning in. And then if you're just standing stationary and then you go like that, that's intentional.
Yeah.
But this throwing a punch and leaning in as you're attacking, that's not intentional. That was incidental contact. You know?
And I'll tell you,
that was not premeditated in any way, in my opinion. And I thought it was a horrible, horrible call on Tony Weeks. And I understand the rule is, If you know, the headbutt or the whatever the foul was deemed intentional, then if it causes the fight to be stopped, then it's a disqualification. But here's what I don't like. You deemed it intentional in the fifth round, and you took a point away. So you already punished him for it.
Yeah.
Okay? And then you let the fight go on. So if you were going to disqualify the guy, you disqualify him right there if you thought that the foul was that egregious. You see what I'm saying? You don't disqualify him three rounds later for something he did three rounds prior. And I know that's the rule, but it's a stupid rule. It makes no sense. It's like, okay, you're innocent of a crime, and then out of the blue, the judge says, hey, you know what? I changed my mind. I'm gonna convict you now. I think you're guilty. You know?
What do you think? Like, okay, so what do you think, though? All right, so, and I get where they're coming from. I understand the rule. So he was hit with that headbutt in the fifth round. They deemed it intentional. It's a foul. So the fight goes on. And because of that cut, the cut got bigger or something like that, or the cut, you know, it was basically stopped.
Yeah.
because of his eye, okay, and that's where he got fouled. I'm thinking to myself, look, if you let the fight go on.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you wanted to go ahead and fight. You could have stopped. It was a foul at that. So if he stopped on the foul, okay, let's say in the fifth round, what if Herring said, you know what, I can't go on. My eye's busted now. I mean, he fouled me. It was intentional. What happens? Is that a disqualification at that point?
Yeah, because the rule's stupid.
Because he can't go forward.
Yeah.
No, I'm saying, like, if you and I'm on the same page. Like, if you can go forward, then at that point, I think you have to forget about the foul. You've already been deducted the point, right? No, we're on the same page.
If you make a decision at that point in time to allow the fight to go on with the referee as well as the fighter, then that's forget about it. Here's the problem with that rule. Okay, so you say it's an intentional foul, whatever, but you allow the fight to go on. You take the point away. You could take up the 2 points if you want, and you allow the fight to go on. That's fine. What if the guy that did the intentional foul comes back and he's leading on the scorecard, and then all of a sudden, you know, the cut that originated from the headbutt, which you deem was intentional, what if the guy's punching in that same area and then the eye's getting worse? So you can't determine that all of the damage on that eye was specifically because of the head.
Right.
What about the punches that landed in that area? So if the foul was bad enough and you deemed it intentional, you have to make the decision right then and there, do I disqualify the guy or not? You don't allow the fight to go four more rounds or three more rounds or whatever, and then, you know, then you disqualify him then for something you did. It's a very, very stupid rule because, as I said, you can't determine how much damage was caused by the head alone. You don't know how much was caused by the punches, you know. And then if you felt that he kept headbutting him over and over again or whatever, or you know he continued to fight the same way after the fifth round up until the eighth.
He didn't change his style at all. I mean, that's the thing that doesn't change his fights, yeah.
If the referee had a problem with the way he was fighting, then he should have disqualified him earlier then.
Well, I'll be honest with you, and you know, and you can speak to this as well. That kid, to me, he reminded me a lot of like a Tim Bradley or a Sean Porter. He's a rough guy.
100%.
You're going to be in a fight. If you fight this guy, you're going to be in a fight. But there was nothing dirty about the way he fought. He's a fighter. I mean, this is the way he fights.
What I'm going to say was, it was not premeditated that he said, I'm going to intentionally use my head as a weapon in this fight.
No.
As I've said before, some guys, they throw up right hand. Their head goes forward. They say to themselves, I'm going to throw my punch the way I want to throw my punch.
Yeah.
If my head moves forward, whether you're there or not, I don't care. It's not like I'm saying, you know, I'm going to throw a 1-2, then a head.
Sure.
If I throw a jab and then I come in and I just lean in when I punch, a lot of fighters do that. So that's the thing. So, you know, if the guy just leans in when he throws punches, a lot of guys do that. Hopkins, Ward, Bradley, Porter.
Porter's a good one. Porter and Bradley are the two that pop in my mind immediately.
You can go down the list of a lot of guys that do that. Tyson would do that too. You know, he would come in sometimes when he threw his right hand, he would leave. Holyfield,
yeah. I was just about to say Holyfield, yeah.
All these guys did it. So it's like I'm throwing my right hand, you know, and I'm leaning in. If your body's there while I'm leaning in and I make contact with you, so be it.
Right.
But I'm not gonna sit there and change the way I, you know, how I shift my weight forward to gain leverage on a punch.
Right. That's the thing.
I'm not going to do that.
Yeah. I didn't, like I said, man, I didn't think there was anything dirty about the way this kid fought. He's a rough fighter, but that's not against the rules. I mean, that's just how some people fight, man. He's a pressure guy.
Go watch Jake LaMotta. Watch Rocky Marciano.
Yeah.
Watch Rocky Marciano throw his right hand. And a lot of times, he would get cut over his eyes due to his own fault.
Right.
Because he was the one that would be initiating the contact. because he was so aggressive. Some guys just lean, like try to get so much leverage and lean and lean so far forward with their the front of their body that they create head clashes and contact. It's just the way it is.
I mean, you know, and did you think the guy was winning the fight? I thought Herring was winning the fight. I thought actually Herring was doing a good job.
I'm going to be honest with you. I thought Herring was very hard on himself. I thought he fought very well.
I thought he did too. I thought he
I didn't find much fault. You know, you're in there with a guy that's kind of rugged and he's rough around the edges.
He's going to make
you look
bad.
You're not going to look good against that guy. But even still, I thought he was landing some really – he looked sharp. He had real good timing. His punches, he was putting them together. He was very fluid. You know, he didn't look like he was second-guessing in there. Everything just came off, you know, very natural. He looked good. He looked like a guy that jumped right back on the
– A solid boxer. That's what he looked like.
Jumped back on the bike and didn't forget a thing while riding it, you know?
Let me tell you what, because he won this fight, and then he's talking about Carl Frampton's next. And you know what? Prior to this fight, I wouldn't have given Herring much of a shot in that fight. I think that Carl was going to walk that fight.
No, I think it's a 50-50 fight.
But I'll tell you what, man. I'm still picking Frampton in that fight. But that fight is going to be a lot closer than I think I thought it was going to be. I thought it was going to be a walkover, man. Herring did impress me, I thought, in this fight. I thought he did a good job. Like I said, man, to fight that guy the way he fought him, I thought it looked good, man. I thought he looked good.
You know what, Herring did a phenomenal job of gauging distance.
He really did.
You know how he knew when to create space and give himself room to punch. Even though the fight was sloppy at times, he still allowed himself to dictate the punching angles and the range. You know, he did not allow himself to be smothered and have his offense nullified by the sloppiness.
Once what he did in that third round, it's almost like he just stepped out, created space,
and then shove, step out, boom. You know what I mean?
Yeah. And that was, I mean, right on the button.
I thought he was hard on him. I thought he was actually hard on himself. I give him a B plus in this fight, I'll be honest with you. I don't think he lost a round.
Yeah, I didn't, you know, like I said, man, I thought that, I thought that two things, man, there are two things I took out of this fight. Number one, I don't think it should have been a disqualification.
No. Wasn't intentional, in my opinion.
That kid was not a dirty fighter. And you know what? And they didn't really warn. I don't think there was many warnings.
That guy,
you know?
That guy was like a kamikaze. He was balls to the walls.
Coming in.
He's just a guy that just comes in, doesn't care about his own well-being. As crazy as that may sound.
Sure.
He throws all caution into the wind, and he's like, I'm just going for it.
Yeah.
Every second of every round, I'm going for it.
Yeah. Listen, man.
I'm not here to make to be fucking pretty or be a slickster and, you know, be a cutesy in there. I'm there to fight. And I'm going for it. I'm fighting the way I want to fight. You don't like it? Too bad.
And anybody you put in there against that guy is going to have a rough fight.
Yeah. And
it's going to be very hard to look good against.
As skilled as Andre Ward was, too, when he decided, hey, I'm going to turn this into a dogfight, I'm going to make this rough and rugged, he did the same thing. You know, he could out-finesse you if he wanted to, but he could also roll around in the mud with you and make it a mud fight when he wanted to as well.
Well, the Kovalev fights, both of them.
Yeah.
You know,
and that's what I loved about it. I loved how Ward would just say to himself, you know what, I'm going to boss this guy tonight.
Yeah.
He's just going to boss him. And he did it. And I loved that.
Then
in the Kessler fight, he was like sticking and moving in and out. He looked like freaking, like Pacquiao in that fight. Like in and out, boom, boom, boom. Like he looked like a flash.
And that guy retired on top.
On top.
That's insane. That's insane.
I love Andre Ward.
But let's talk about Andre Ward for a minute. Because he wasn't very impressed with Herring. He said after the fight, he said that he would have loved to see Herring find a way back out there to fight. And he said that basically the Frampton fight is going to be a lot tougher than this fight was. He said, I'll just leave it there. It sounds like to me, if you read between the lines,
I know,
he didn't
exactly
say it. He didn't exactly say it, but, you know, what I'm hearing and the way I have to translate that is that when he got cut and the blood was in his eyes, he didn't bite down and go out there and try for a finish. He bought out.
Okay.
That's what I heard.
Here's
now,
the
that's
flip
not
side.
What he said, but
I respect Andre Wood, and I 100%.
Yes.
But what do I always say? If you're injured and you continue to fight injured, the longer you sustain damage, the worse the eye will get, the longer the healing time is.
For sure.
He's got Frampton in front of him, big money fight. He's got a family to feed. He got to put food on the table. So he's saying to himself, yeah, I can continue to fight. But then again, instead of needing maybe 10 stitches, if I continue
more,
to fight to the end, I'll need 25, 30. And what happens then? I'll be on the shelf longer. And then that fight gets pushed back. And then maybe Frampton decides, hey, I don't want to wait for you. I'm going to go to I'll go fight somebody else.
Maybe you get to fight him, and then maybe you don't.
I'll go fight Santa Cruz again. If you win, lose, or draw against Tank Davis. Right?
How many times have we talked to fighters over the years, Beeb, and they said, hey, I was scheduled to fight this guy, fight that guy. They were going to get me a fight for next month, and it fell through for one reason or another. It always happens.
How close is Tyson Fury to losing his rematch against Deontay Wilder because of that cut from Otto
Wallen?
Yeah,
that's right, from Wallen, that's right.
Right? And I'll tell you this, and I can almost guarantee this is my opinion, obviously I'm speculating, but if that was caused by a headbutt, do you think Fury would have finished that fight?
I don't know. It's tough to say.
Could we agree that there would be a strong possibility that maybe they would try to tell him, hey, let's pull you now?
Let's pull it out, yeah.
Let's go to the scorecards,
well,
right?
You know what? You bring up an interesting point. Interesting point. Because in the last round, I think it was the eighth round, he goes back to the corner. It says his eyes closed. He can't see. He's claiming that he can't see. Clearly after the fight, it looks like his vision had been repaired, but I think, you know, you're in the heat of the moment. Once you have time to cool down and everything like that, the other thing is, you know, after the fight and you have a chance to cool down, you don't have people throwing punches at you. So the guy can't see, you know, there's blood coming in his eye, this and that. His corner said to him, hey, you know, you got to go back out there because we don't know. Because they asked the referee. The referee couldn't give him a definitive answer.
20 weeks, McCormick.
Shouldn't the referee be able to give you a definitive answer on if you stop the fight now?
Can I tell you something?
Qualification?
This is the prime example of we're talking about how bad and stupid this rule is, right?
Yeah.
When the fight ends like that, and everyone's sitting there deciding what are we going to do? Even the commission didn't know what they wanted to do. At first, they said we'll go to the scorecards. Then they said no. Then they ended up overturning it and say we're going to call it.
Yeah.
That's when you know a rule is stupid, when you don't even know how to – it's ridiculous to even try to enforce it. That's how you know a rule sucks.
You know what it reminded me of? You remember the Chavez-Frankie Randall fight, the second one?
Yeah.
Where it ended
–
and it was some obscure WBC rule that it went to the scorecards.
So if you both guys clash heads, right?
Yeah.
And it's deemed unintentional.
Right.
Listen to this stupid rule that they had at the time. The fighter that's cut and the fighter that's not cut gets the point taken away, and the fighter that's cut doesn't.
That was a WBC rule.
That? How stupid is that? And he loses, and he lost because of that.
Yeah, and Frankie Randall
lost. Title because of that.
And, yeah, he lost. That's the way he lost. And Frankie Randall was going to beat it in that second round. He hit him again with that right hand.
I had Frankie Randall winning the fight up until the point, too.
Yeah. I mean, I thought Frankie Randall won both fights. I really, you know.
And Chavez was the one that caused the clash of heads.
Right.
And it was unintentional as well.
It was an insane rule. And they had him ahead. They had him ahead at the time of the because they went to the scorecards at that point. With the deduction, it was only went like, what, four rounds? Wasn't it? Like four rounds?
Four rounds, yeah.
You get a point deduction. I mean, you're taking it home at that point. I mean.
But I'm also going to say this. in regards to Herring. And I know where Ward's going with this. Well, you know, there's going to be times when he's going to be in that Frampton fight and he's going to have to bite down. And he can't be looking, you know, for any outs, whatever, when things start getting tough there. Okay, but here's the difference. Here's the difference, the situation. You're fighting a Kendo, but you are looking ahead to Frampton. It's impossible not to be doing
sure.
that, right?
Sure.
So when he's in the Frampton fight, he really doesn't have the luxury of looking ahead to another fighter. So in a situation like that, I think he would lay it on the line and say, and not even think twice about staying in there if it was the Frampton fight.
Well, you could look at it that way.
Because it's a different situation. Whereas he doesn't want to lose the payday. Okay, yeah. These guys have been on the show for a long time due to COVID. It's not like he's making $1 million a fight.
No.
Okay, I don't even. I'd be surprised if he. You know, he. I'm speculating here, but I would probably guess he's probably making $500,000-$600,000 against Frampton. I could be wrong.
Probably against Frampton, yeah.
Yeah. So
I'm sure it'll be his career high. Yeah.
Yeah, this guy's not making $1 million paydays.
No.
You know, and he's got a family or whatever. So I respect Andre Ward. Greatly, without question, unequivocally, I got love for Andre Ward. But I think my point is valid that, you know what, he's looking ahead to the Frampton fight, and he doesn't want to jeopardize that by being on the shelf for too long because he's going to need 40 stitches in his freaking right eye.
Yeah,
that's just my opinion.
You know, and it could be, you know, now the devil's advocate. You know, might say, well, hey, you know, if he can't bite down in this fight, what's he going to do against Frampton?
Well, that was the point.
Right.
That was the point that Ward was trying to make.
Kind of like if you dog it in practice and say, well, this is just practice. Yeah. I'm showing up for the game. Listen, if you can't do practice, you're not going to be able to do this in the game.
No, the optics kind of.
It didn't look good. I mean, I will say
the
that.
Optics
it didn't look great.
The optics kind of support more what Ward was saying. There's no question about it.
Right.
But I'm looking beyond that.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to play psychologist here, but I'm looking in here. I'm not looking I'm not looking at just what I'm seeing outside. I'm trying to read what's going on in here.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's me, you know, I'm 50 years old, right? I'm an older guy. I'm 23. Someone looks at me the wrong way. I don't think twice about hauling off and punching a guy, right?
Right.
Now I'm kind of trying to laugh it off because you know what? I don't want to get in trouble. I work for the city now.
Right.
I don't want to do something that's going to jeopardize my job, my career. It's going to get out there. People have cell phones now. Who knows who's taping me? Who knows who's going to tape it and put it on Facebook? Who's going to put it on YouTube?
Right.
Hey, Mr. Mayor, look what Beeb did. He just punched this guy in the face. So 25-year-old version of Beeb saying to himself, I'm just gonna square off. I'm just gonna throw hands. This version's thinking, you know, right. I'm playing chess now. I'm not playing checkers. I'm thinking 3, 4, 5 moves ahead down the road.
But
you know?
Let me ask you a question. So when we let's go back to his corner for a minute. I'll be honest with you. I don't think. I mean, I don't know, but I think in the heat of the moment, and he's in that fight, I don't think he's got a thought about Frampton. I really don't. I don't think that he has a thought about Frampton.
You know,
but now, like his corner, when they asked his corner, they said, he said, hey, look, man, he says, you know, what happened? He said, well, it was the referee said it was an intentional headbutt, this and that. And the ref said, well, if he can't go forward, what happens? He said, I can't make that call. Now, before that, prior to that, he looked at the doctor and said, can you see? He said, Herring said, I can't see. Once you tell the doctor you can't see, that fight is done. I don't care where you are.
That was another bizarre thing because the referee was looking at the doc.
Yeah.
And then they were going back.
The whole exchange was weird. Now, his corner, Bomek told him to go back out. He said, listen, if you don't go back out, you're going to lose your title. And he says, I can't see. And so they didn't know what was going
to happen. Referee's supposed
to
stop immediately when that is said. Do you see a referee once that is said and immediately he waves it off?
Yeah.
Tony Weeks was off his game last night.
He's usually okay. He's usually not bad.
I was surprised he was off his game. That was probably the worst one of his worst performances.
laid up because of COVID. You know, he finally comes back. He's not the only one.
Yeah, he was
us,
off
you know?
His game. He kind of looked like a rookie referee last night. Like he didn't know what was going on.
That's exactly what he looked like. And the fact that he couldn't give them a definitive answer, you know, the fact that he couldn't give them a definitive answer in his corner, which yeah. you have to give them. You have to give, you have to let, they, you have to know the rules in the fight.
And here's
if you're
the thing.
Fighting, you have to know the rules.
And here's the thing, though. You know what's crazy, Eric? Some of the rules are so stupid that you, as an official, you feel like dumb enforcing them. Like you're saying to yourself,
yeah.
You know, like certain things that I have to do, and I find myself, like in my job, certain things I have to do that I kind of think are stupid. When I'm doing them, I'm saying to myself, why the fuck do I got to do this?
Right.
So it's like the referee saying, yeah, you know, that is the rule.
Got to
but it's kind of stupid because yeah. I'm punishing this guy for something he did four rounds earlier.
Right.
But the rule is written as such where I have to disqualify him because I deem that. But here's where the rule gets a little sketchy. And I hate to sound redundant here. Because once the cut is caused, you can't say that punches aren't making that cut worse. So then you turn around and stop the fight because the cut was caused initially by the headbutt. But then the flip side to that is, okay, well, then the punches wouldn't have been able to cause as much damage if the illegal headbutt didn't cause the cut. I get that. But it, there's kind of a... It's not a clear cut way of looking at it.
I think
because,
you know I agree with you in the sense that look, if the headbutt occurred in the fifth round, if you can't go forward at that point, that's got to be a disqualification. But when you're going three rounds later and the cut is opened up because of punches, you chose to go forward.
And you can't tell the guy.
You can't go back.
But you can't tell the guy, oh, now you can't punch me in that area anymore because you headbutted me there. So now you're not allowed to punch me there.
Right.
Can't tell the guy that.
No,
so it's, you know, so
not off limits.
That's the problem. So I'm going to say this. You can't tell me that cut was not made worse by punches.
If you want to disqualify him, you should have done it in that
right
fifth
in the
round.
Fifth.
However,
right in the fifth.
If the fight goes on, then I would say that it goes to the scorecards. That's the only fair
that's,
way to do it. That's the only
in,
fair way to do it, man.
Yeah, in my opinion, the rule should be written differently.
Yeah.
It needs to be revised.
Either way, I think Herring wins. I didn't see the scorecards after the fight and who
I didn't
was
give
up.
A Kendo a round, so it didn't matter either way.
Yeah, it didn't matter. I mean, it didn't matter.
But what I'm doing now is just kind of laying it out there like
right.
for other fights.
Yeah.
Because what if a Kendo came back? Obviously, you know, the skill gap was so great that it was hard to imagine
oh,
that
sure.
happening.
For sure.
But let's just take this situation and put it into a different fight. Mm-hmm. With two guys that are more evenly matched, and maybe the guy was behind, but maybe he rallies back, and now the guy that suffered the cut can't continue. So you can make an argument that the guy that, you know, caused the clash and caused the cut because of the headbutt that was deemed intentional, now you disqualify him. So all that work that he did from the fifth on gets wiped away?
Well, again, you've already taken
no.
a point away from him. You've already punished him.
You've already punished
you've
him.
Already like, punished
it's, it's like double jeopardy.
You know, I've never really seen a disqualification. I mean, like, you know, when I think of disqualification, I'm thinking, you know, headbutts. He wasn't warned.
Yeah.
I don't know that he was warned prior to, and I don't know that he was warned after for using his head.
But the rule is written as such.
Sure.
You had to disqualify him.
They had
but
to do
again,
what they had to do, no question.
But again,
a bad rule.
I think it's a stupid rule.
It's a bad rule, for sure.
Really, really bad rule.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean.
You
so,
know it's a bad rule when the officials don't even want to.
So do you think, I mean, and let's look ahead here to Frampton. You think that's a 50-50 fight?
I do.
I tell you what. Like I said, man, I did not give him a big chance to win that fight. I give him a better chance to win that fight now.
Let me say this.
And Herring's a bigger guy.
I love Frampton.
I do too.
You know, I think Herring's got a pretty good size advantage over Frampton.
Frampton didn't look great.
But
last
fight
either.
The Frampton of 3 years ago I would pick him.
Sure, sure.
Full confidence. But he slipped a little bit. He's got miles on him. He's been in some tough fights, you know. But he's still a phenomenal fighter. He's still a top-level guy.
Yeah.
He's still a danger to anybody. But the thing is this. He has off nights, you know. He has off nights. Sometimes he looks a little bit off in certain spots in fights, right? And, you know, he has problems. There's some rough patches in a lot of his fights now.
Yeah.
You know, he doesn't exit these fights unscathed anymore like he did back in the day. You know, that Frampton, that fought Quigg, he was a master.
That was a tough fight though, because I gave Quigg a lot of those later rounds, man. That was a good fight.
Yeah, I think I had that 8-4.
Did you?
Yeah, I had 8-4. Too little, too late. I think Frampton took his foot off the pedal.
Yeah, I think that, you know, when I'm looking at that fight, when I'm looking at the Frampton fight, I always kind of look at it and say, you know, who has more ways to win? And for me, Herring's a good boxer. I think Frampton is a better boxer, and he's on.
Well, here's the thing.
I think that Frampton has the power to get him out of there. I don't think Herring has the power to get Frampton out of there.
But see, Herring that's out of can really do a lot of damage with the body work. He's a really good body puncher.
His boxing impressed me in here, especially against a guy like that. Because, again, it's hard to look good against a guy like that, man. I thought he did pretty well.
You know what? You know what makes Frampton so dangerous? Because there's certain guys that are just as dangerous when they're moving backward, as when they're moving forward.
Right.
He has a little bit of Marquez in him. He's a good counterpuncher. Then that's one area I think that separates him from Herring. He's a very good counterpuncher. Herring's doesn't have the counterpunching abilities that Frampton has. So that's one area where he could use that to kind of exploit Herring a little bit.
Yeah.
So
it'll be good, man. I tell you what, I'm looking forward to it. I really, it was one of those fights. I was like, but after seeing the fights, after seeing Frampton fight, it didn't look great. I thought that Herring looked good, but if you take Andre Ward and you say that maybe he lacks a little dog in him, that, you know, that dog to go forward.
I disagree with
that. Man, the guy was in the Marines.
I disagree with that.
I think that's a tough thing, knowing that he was a Marine and everything like that. You know, I think he's probably got some dog in him. I don't think there's any question.
And the first thing he did is he went right to Bob Arum, and Bob Arum was talking about the eye.
Yeah.
And it almost looked to me, and again, me speculating, it looked to me like they were talking about the Frampton fight, and then Bob was kind of telling him, we'll have to see when we can do this, because, you know, he was going like this. Yeah. Was saying, basically saying, we'll see. Depends how long this takes to heal, you know?
Right.
Because he's nervous. I just think he's really, really hell-bent on getting that Frampton fight. And he's got a lot of – I think he's got a little bit of anxiety. You know, he's chomping at the bit, Herring, because this fight itself was pushed back a couple times. You know, and, you know, he's been out a long time. He hasn't been getting paid for a long period of time. He was already on the shelf for a little bit because of other situations. He doesn't want to go down that road again, Eric.
Oh.
So I'm honestly thinking he's trying to preserve – you know, and just minimize his recovery time. I really believe that.
Well, you know, let's get into this other topic here, because we talked about Herring and how, you know, he got hit with the COVID thing, and I think his fight was moved twice, and then he's not getting a regular type of payday. Matter of fact, nobody really is, because of this whole thing. You can't really get put on a regular schedule and everything like that. I found this topic pretty interesting. So September 16th is coming up, you know, Mexican Independence Day weekend, this weekend. No fights, no big fights lined up. I mean, we'll go over the schedule. When was the last time?
This is like a holiday for boxing.
When was the last time that we did not have a big fight on Mexican Independence Day weekend?
I can't ever remember.
I can't either.
My answer is never, to my knowledge.
Never, right?
I could be wrong, but to my knowledge,
never. Yeah, right? I mean, and typically when it's in the middle of the week, typically it goes to, you know, if it's, I think September 16th, I want to say it's a Wednesday or something like that, but It usually falls on the week before, you know, not, you don't really celebrate it after the fact. They always celebrate it the week before. That would be this weekend. I'm dumbfounded, right? I mean, I'm really dumbfounded. I don't know when the last time that's happened. And it brings me to, like, Canelo Alvarez, okay? His last fight was November 2nd, 2019, against Sergey Kovalev. And it's possible, I mean, that he may not fight this year. I mean, because he has nobody lined up. Nobody thinking about it. You got DAZN.
These are really trying times.
Yeah.
Really. I'm going to say something that maybe I'm being a little overdramatic here, but there's a lot of people that really look forward to the sport of boxing, and it's kind of like an outlet for them.
Sure.
A lot of fans, and it's kind of depressing, even for myself.
Yeah.
That, like, it bothers me that a lot of these fights, like Fury Wilder 3, they're hanging in the balance right now.
Right.
I was getting really worried about Teofimo versus Lomachenko.
Yeah.
And another thing that's always in the back of my mind is, what if one of these guys all of a sudden pops positive for COVID? But I think now they're saying that even if they get a positive COVID test, as long as they're not showing symptoms, I think they'll still let them fight.
There's no way that would happen.
You don't think so?
No, 100% no.
Well, didn't they say that, though, before? Weren't they talking about that? Because they were like, remember that someone in the camp COVID?
I don't think a health department would let that happen.
Yeah, that's true.
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, yeah. They've got,
I thought I heard something like that, though, because there was people like that. I think one fighter had someone in his camp that was positive, but he didn't show symptoms, but they allowed him to be in the corner.
Oh, wow. I didn't hear that.
I thought so. And you
I
know what else,
cancel
too?
It or send the corner guy home. That happened. Yeah. I think it was in the UFC where somebody was a big fight and the corner guy, it was the dude, Gamebred, Masvidal. His corner, he was fighting, but his corner tested positive, and so they sent his head coach home. And so he was in that fight without the head coach, you know. So
yeah.
What are you going to do?
But some guys are testing positive, and then they're getting tested like a day later, and they're negative.
Well, and you wonder what kind of tests they're using. Like DeWine, our governor here, when the president was coming, he tested positive for it. But it was like that antibody test where I guess they took a swab or something like that. It wasn't like the nasal test where they put that whole tube, you know,
that's
scoped
crazy
up your nose or whatever, man. That is not comfortable. But, some tests, but I think the nasal one is fairly accurate. But the antibody test where they just, I don't think that's accurate. So I don't know. Or they say it's got a lower
accuracy.
Yeah.
Crazy, isn't it?
So check this out, man. Okay, so DeAndre Ware fought on the undercard. DeAndre Ware lost by a TKO on the undercard to Steve Nelson. Listen, who cares, right? The reason I bring this up is the fight really wasn't that, you know, that big of a deal, and it wasn't that big of a deal for DeAndre Ware. A half hour before the weigh-in, all right, a coordinator for Top Rank, Pete Sussin, suffered a suspected heart attack.
Oh, wow.
Now, DeAndre Ware is a trained EMT. He administered chest compressions, worked with the Nevada State Athletic Commission's on-site doctor as they waited for help to arrive. Sussin was then taken to the hospital. He was responsive. He was communicating. Isn't that amazing? I mean, like, that guy saved his life.
That's a great story.
DeAndre Ware, do you know where he's from?
I heard he like used to live in Ohio for a couple of months, and then he moved
title
out.
Town, son. He's from Ohio, baby.
I heard
that's
he lived there.
Do.
Like I heard
that's
he was,
what
like,
we do, son.
I heard he was on vacation for like a month there.
He was on vacation. Nobody vacations Ohio for a month. Nobody vacations to Ohio. Period. I was like, when?
I'm not sure if he actually has a place of residence out there.
Let's go to the phones here. I think this is Phoenix. Oh, 602, you're live. 602, you're live. And then again, maybe you're not.
Hello?
Hello. All right. Go to 805. 805, you're live.
Hey guys, what's up?
What's happening?
Wake up, Nacho. Come
much.
On. Don't fall asleep on us. Don't fall asleep on us.
No, nobody's asleep, Beam. Regarding
Nacho's
the whole,
wide awake, baby.
Yeah, exactly. The whole herring thing. I'm a little confused about that whole situation. Honestly, what it reminds me of is the Salido Mikey Garcia fight from a few years ago, where Garcia was up on the scorecard, and basically they said, you know what, like, we know we're not gonna really get anything out of going the distance, and we're way ahead. So let's just go ahead and say that we want to pull the plug now, that we're gonna win, and just, you know, take our ball and go home. That's kind of what it reminded me of last night. That's what it felt like. It felt like his trainer just said, you know, we're up big on the scorecards. We don't need you to keep getting headbutted by Oquendo. So let's just say you can't see, and then we'll take the W and move on to Frampton. I mean, there's really no other explanation for what
well,
else
no,
happened.
No, because his corner didn't know what the outcome was going
to
be. His and corner had no
they
idea. They were asking the rest.
No.
They didn't know. Their corner told him to go back out there. The corner said, hey, if you don't go back out there and fight, you're going to lose your title.
Well, because the ref was giving them a lot of indecisiveness. That
right.
was the problem. So it wasn't – I think they
so nobody
knew.
Really knew.
I think they
you know?
Knew, but they didn't know how it was going to be actually officiated. They didn't know how it was going to – how it was going to be enforced, excuse me. That's the more appropriate word.
Yeah, that's
they
more like
it going to
be
enforced.
That they didn't know what the ruling was going to be, so I think they just were thinking like, well – if he doesn't at least go back out there and attempt to fight, they might try to say that Oquendo's the winner or something. You never know. That's true.
Yeah,
you
Weeks looked very befuddled last night. He was really off his game last night, Weeks.
Yeah, he was. He really wasn't in control of that fight. It just kind of felt like he let Oquendo slide all night with the whole, like, leaning in with his head and just kind of, you know, landing with his head more than he was with his fist. And then basically once it got to the point where, you know, Herring said, like, yeah, I can't see anymore, then at that point it was like, okay, well, I'm just going to call the fight. So, I don't know.
And you know something else, Notch? Not to interrupt you. But
yeah.
I think that was called intentional. Because Weeks was listening to Herring complain, and I think Herring's complaining swayed Weeks into making
that
intentional.
That
when,
happens
when it really wasn't intentional.
That happens all the time, man. It happens all the time.
I just wanted to put that out there. I forgot to say that earlier. I wanted to put that out there.
No,
I
could totally see that. But I just think that Andre Ward, I normally don't agree with a lot of the stuff he says. But I think he was spot on about what happened last night. I think Herring just said, you know what, I don't need this. I think he figures, you know what, let me just go out there, get this W, and move on to Frampton and the payday. That's kind of the way I felt about it last night. I just think he felt like he was better off calling it a night rather than to keep getting, you know, intentionally headbutted.
Like I
said,
man.
Yeah.
Ten stitches is better than 35, right? That's the way I look at it.
Yeah, no, I mean he saved himself a whole lot of pain. I agree, because I'm sure Oquendo would have probably headbutted him a few more times before the fight would have been over for sure. So, you know,
there was no warnings either, Notch. I mean, there was not a lot of warnings in there, not a lot of foul warnings.
Oh, no. Weeks was totally sloppy last night. Yeah, I'm not excusing Tony Weeks. He was totally sloppy last night.
Yeah.
He didn't take control of the fight, and he didn't take control of the fight, and it looked bad on his part that, you know, it ended up having to end the way it did. So, you know, it is what it is. Hopefully Herring comes out with a better performance against Frampton when they do fight each other next. Jared Anderson, that guy keeps getting better and better every time I see him fight. And
where's
I think
from,
it's only
going
to be a matter of time. Is it Titletown?
Titletown, son.
Yeah,
next heavyweight champion
think,
right there. Yeah. Big baby Anderson, son. Belts. Give the belts.
Oh, okay.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. The kid has some skills. It'll be interesting to see, like, how much longer it takes him to develop before, you know, he gets another, before he moves up the rung and then eventually he becomes a contender. But I think he's on his way. I think Top Rank's developing him, you know, really well.
Nacho, he's amazing.
Yeah.
Amazing fighter.
And then,
Might be the next Ali. If you really watch him, he may be the next Ali. I'm just saying.
Come on.
Title tag.
Come on, Eric. He's not on that level. Come on.
Look at him being
the,
saying
that. The hyperbole is getting a little too much. as far as the fight, I'm not even sure if you guys are going to talk about the fight tonight with Ramos and Ugas. So... I mean, I'm picking Ugas to win that fight. I don't see Ramos winning that fight.
Are you looking forward to that? Are you gonna like right after the show is over? Are you gonna run to your TV and like make sure you got enough pucks on you? I'm just not even into that fight, man.
I'm not into it at all. I'm recording it. I'm not gonna watch it live.
I'm in the same boat as Eric.
Yeah.
I'll probably watch it tomorrow morning
when I'm taking my morning. You know what?
That's where I am with it. I'm like, all right.
Yeah, I just think that this is a stay busy fight for Ugas.
You know what?
This is a stay busy fight for Ugas, and I think he should win easy. You know, but and then I heard you guys talking about the whole thing with Canelo. I mean, I keep reading different reports. A couple of guys, I think it might have been Mannix, put out a tweet saying that apparently DAZN has already told Canelo that they're only willing to pay him 50% of his normal purse for whatever opponent he ends up taking on, even though they're saying that they want him
He signed a contract. What was it for? $33 million?
$350 million.
It was more or less
million.
Like 35.
This is what people don't understand. What was it? A $300 million contract, Eric? What was the thing?
350 or something like that.
Okay.
I mean, only Mike
it's
Trout
for 11
got more.
Fights. Now it's for 11 fights. But here's what people don't understand. Everyone just assumed each fight was going to be divided evenly. That is not the case. Because when he fought Fielding, they only gave him $15 million. Then when he fought Golovkin, they gave him like $40 million, right? So it's their discretion on how much they want to pay him fight, you know, each fight. But at the end, when his 11th fight is up, they have to pay him the totality of what that contract states. So they have to pay him what that contract states, but how they do it and, you know, fight by fight, how they want to divvy it up is all up to them.
That's what just dropped.
Oh, shit. Did he?
Yeah, he just dropped off.
Did he hang up?
Yeah, he's out.
Huh.
I don't know. Notorious BC says, who is the caller of the year so far? Kevin from Chicago.
Jacobs. That's right, D-Snell. I'm sorry. I meant to say Jacobs. That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know why I said Golovkin. Yeah, I'm 100% correct.
Yeah, so, he just dropped off. Sorry about that, Nacho. If you're there, call back, man. So, yeah, let's talk about the upcoming fights here. Let's see here. Let's go to bring it up here. So let's talk about the fights tonight. I'm not really exactly running to my TV after this. I know some of you will, but I'm not.
I'm not excited for this fight tonight.
Jordan Masugas versus Abel Ramos, 12 rounds for the vacant WBA regular title, whatever that means. Jesus Ramos versus Esteban Garcia, 8 rounds junior welterweights. Omar Juarez, friend of the show, versus Dakota Linger. I want to see this one, 8 rounds welterweights. I definitely want to watch that one.
I don't like that.
You know, Omar Juarez, man, that guy, you know, he looks like he could be on TV. He's a young guy. He gives, like, motivational speeches and everything like that.
I like that kid.
What's not to like, man? That guy seems to have it together. Looks like he can fight. He's in good shape. So I'm looking forward to it, man. I'm looking forward to seeing that one.
Oh, yeah.
Next week, September 12th in Las Vegas. I'm assuming that's Saturday. Edges Kavaluskis versus Michael Zuski on ESPN Plus, 10 rounds welterweights. Miguel Mariaga versus Joette Gonzalez, 10 rounds featherweights. Andrew Cancillo versus Saul Rodriguez, 10 rounds junior lightweights. And that's on the ESPN Plus on Saturday, September 12th from London. I don't know if this is on DAZN or anything like that or ESPN Plus yet, but there's no TV listing for it. Anthony Yard versus Dex Spellman, 10 rounds light heavyweights. Mark Heffron versus Denzel Bentley, 10 rounds middleweight. And that's it.
That's it, huh?
That's it for the fights. So, yeah, man, not much on there at all. All right, let's talk about let's go to news and rumors here. ESPN signs Andre Ward to a contract. They signed two-division world champion boxer Andre Ward to a brand spanking new multi-year deal. Unreal. I didn't get a listen. I didn't get any numbers on it or anything like that. Listen, Andre Ward is good, man.
He's good.
He's my favorite. He's one of my favorite announcers. I like.
Yep.
I used to like Roy Jones. I'm not big on Max Kellerman. I can't stand Max Kellerman.
I don't like Max Kellerman.
Jim Lampley and Roy Jones and Andre Ward are typically my favorites. Those are the guys I like to listen to.
Oh, you like Jim Lampley?
I do like Jim Lampley, yeah. Sometimes he's a little bit of a homer, but yeah, I do like him. For the most part, when he just calls the fights, and I think he's pretty good. But listen, man, I like Andre Ward a lot. I like him a lot, and I think he's really good. I think he's really good at what he does.
You know, I got to say, I actually miss Paulie Malignaggi on the Showtime cards.
See, I don't miss Paulie at all. I don't miss Paulie at all.
Yeah, see, I like Paulie.
I'm not a big Paulie guy.
No, you don't like him?
Nah. I don't know. I mean, not really.
Okay.
I like Paulie guy.
What about Bernstein? You like Bernstein?
Yeah, I like Bernstein. I like Bernstein a lot. Mauro Ranallo, I can take or leave. He's okay.
He grew on me.
He's really like kind of campy, you know, with some of his sayings or something like that. But I don't mind him. I listened to him in Pride when he was the announcer in Pride and everything like that.
I wasn't crazy about him in the beginning, but he kind of grew on. You know why? Because I like him. I like him as a person too. I just think he's a real nice guy. He comes off as a real nice guy to me. I like him. Very personal.
Oh yeah, for sure, for sure. I just know him, like I said, man. I know him from Pride and everything like that, him and Boss Rutten. And the two really, they had pretty good chemistry. So, it was one of those things, man, where I knew what he was coming in, and I like him. He's all right.
Yeah. I like Bernstein a lot, though. Bernstein's good.
Bernstein's very good. Bernstein's really good. Yeah, Logan Wolf mentioned Teddy Atlas. Teddy Atlas is my all-time favorite. I don't mention Teddy Atlas because he's on the Mount Rushmore by himself.
Mahrez is a little rough around the edges, but
he's not bad.
He has potential.
Yeah. Tim Bradley, I can't stand.
Tim Bradley's really bad.
And I noticed that he didn't get a multi-year deal with ESPN. He'll be back on DAZN soon, son.
What do you think about Christina Ponce? You like her?
Nah.
Let me ask you this. I got to ask you one question. Do you like any female announcers?
Not really.
You don't, right?
I don't. You know who I do like? You know who I think is really good? And I think
Lisa
is really
watching?
Professional.
Is Lisa watching this?
I hope not. Let me tell you who's really good and I think who's really professional is Jordan Hardy.
She's good.
Jordan Hardy, I think, is very professional.
So you like one?
I like her. I think she's good. I think she's really good. She dresses professionally and everything like that. You start getting to these girls, you know, and it's almost like they want a movie career, not necessarily. I get the feeling that they could just care less about boxing, you know.
Now people have said they.
Yeah,
said,
JC, you're right. Yeah, I get it.
Female boxing.
No.
She's not that bad though. She's a pretty good interviewer.
Yeah, she's very pretty.
Yeah, but she's a better interviewer. She's like
I
a
bet
much
she
better.
Is. Yeah, I bet she's a
very much
good
better
interviewer.
But she's a much better interviewer than Michelle Joy. Michelle Joy Phelps, to me, is
I
one
bet,
of the worst.
She's a pretty good interviewer.
she's gorgeous, though. Isn't she peanut boxing? Oh, my gosh.
She's a pretty girl, man. She's a pretty girl. Yeah.
Really
she dresses that part. She dresses that part, I'll say that. These styles have too many dudes praise female announcers because they're thirsty. I hear it, man.
I agree with that.
I'm with D-Style on this, man. I'm with D-Style on this.
But I actually do think Fino Boxing's not bad. I think she's a good interviewer.
Well, Jenny Sushi, yeah, her too.
Jenny Sushi's a joke. Michelle Joy Phelps. Who's that girl on Ring TV? What the hell's her name?
I don't know. Oh. She's that cupcake on Ring TV.
She is horrible. She is like the worst.
Who was the – wasn't it Michelle Joy Phelps, the one who was laying down, giving interviews and stuff like that? Or
she's laying
like,
in a bed with Tyson.
Couch?
She's laying in a bed with Tyson Fury, right. giving an interview and expecting people to take her serious.
Right. You can't do it. You can't do it.
Can't do it.
Can't do it. I can't do it. You can't come dressed like, you know, you just got out of the club and expect me to take you seriously, man. I can't do it, man.
I don't like her at all, man. I'm sorry. I have no patience for her.
You know, in Fino Boxing, they're much the same way. I mean, you know, when you talk about like podcasters and stuff. D-Style, literally, she was actually laying in bed giving that interview. You know, so, you know,
It's on YouTube.
I don't know. Google Michelle Joy Phelps Tyson Fury.
You'll see it.
Because you'll see them flirting with the guys and everything like that to try to, I don't get behind that, man. Either you got questions or you don't have questions, you know.
Horrible.
Jeez.
What do you say? Oh, he's out of control, man.
Talk about a train wreck of the week this week, Beef. Chavez Sr., my boy. Chavez Jr. is your boy. Chavez Sr. said he would like to do an exhibition with Oscar De La Hoya.
Wow. Quote. Still mad, man. Still mad.
Yeah, right? It would be the last exhibition I would do, all right? He said, but I want to do it in front of fans, not without. I want everyone to see the beating I'm going to give them. Come on, son. Son, you're pushing 60. You're pushing 60, son. And I don't know if you've seen De La Hoya, man. Like, he's still fit. You know what I mean? I mean, he wears fishnets and everything, whatever, man. He likes spoons and all that other stuff, kitchen utensils. Listen, I don't care. The guy can still fight, and he's still in pretty good shape. He's 47. Son, stop. It's over for you. Exhibition. Come on, stop it. Stop it. Beeb, I don't know.
Pull the plug.
Pull the plug. That's it. That's what you got to do. NBC returns to boxing. This is real interesting, okay? So, according to Mike Coppinger, NBC will be putting on a series of boxing matches set to start November 17th. Other shows are planned for December 3rd and December 17th, with more in 2021. So NBC is actually planning on working with Ring City, which is a new sports media platform. The interesting thing here, man, is that Ring City doesn't work with any particular promoter. They're not looking to sign talent. They're not looking – they'll work with a I believe that's September 25th, if I'm not mistaken, his exhibition with Arce. Let's see here. Yeah, September 25. So, but back to Ring City, they're not going to hire any, like, they'll do, like, local promoters just to stage shows and stuff like that, like Lou DiBella, stuff like that. But I don't know what kind of fights they're going to be able to put on. Like showbox caliber fights or, you know, that kind of stuff. And I mean, if that's the case, man, I don't know. I don't know how long they'll last. Naoya Inoue going to make his stateside debut, I believe, against Jason Maloney for October 31st. And then Kell Brook and Terrence Crawford is supposed to be very close to happening right now. The fight would take place in November. That fight, from what I understand and everything I've read, is that's going to happen. Yeah. Close. So I tell you what, man, I like Terrence Crawford big in that fight. I don't think Kell Brook has much of a chance right now. If this was a few years ago, I think he'd have a pretty good chance. It's not a few years ago, though.
Yeah.
He's taken beatings from Spence, Golovkin, and Eddie Hearn, throwing him out the pasture again against this guy, man. This is not a good fight for him. This is a good cash-out fight for him. But he's going to get, $1.5 million? He got four against Golovkin.
Let's see if he gets a little more than that 1.5. That'll be interesting to see if he does.
I wouldn't be shocked to see him up to two.
Two and a half, maybe?
maybe.
Probably two.
I think they're offering like 1.5 for big name fighters right now.
Yeah.
So I think Terrence Crawford's probably going to take 3, but I don't know. Who knows? It's all speculation on my part. So there you go. All right, let's go to the phones real quick before we wind up here. Georgie from Rikers. What's happening?
Hey, yo! What's happening, people? How this spirit
yeah.
out there? How
what's
we
up?
Feel lifted?
What it
we
do? What
good?
It do? What
hey,
it
yo,
do,
shout
baby?
Out to all the women out there. Shout out to all the women, especially Michelle. Don't be paying attention to these hypocrites, these haters. How the fuck you guys going to be
Peace
fucking
out.
Hating
so much,
on
man.
Her sexuality? Hey, listen. Yo,
it's,
Michelle, don't pay no mind to them. Let me put my work on. Michelle, pay no mind to them. Some of us have experienced diamond pieces like you, so we understand you, girls. So live your life. Don't worry about it.
Stop white knighting right now. Stop white knighting right now, okay, dude?
Yeah. Stop being Captain Saberhoe, son.
Stop white knighting right now, okay?
That's right.
Get off your little friggin'
you guys
got to go to
the
corner, okay?
You can't do much about
them
anyway.
Pick off your
you
pick off your dress and get back in the game,
there,
okay?
Once again.
Take off your dress and get back in the game, Primo, okay?
So is this, she's a bimbo,
Georgie. I gotta come here and give me some love
Saturday
once in a
night
while.
Special,
so
Georgie.
Guys,
she's a Saturday night special.
Wow.
She's a Saturday night special. I'm sorry.
You guys be glorifying these mafias, talking about all this shit. Listen, stop. All I want to know is that all I want to know right now is that Crawford fucking at least, I mean, I take Brooke, bro. I take Brooke. From all this shit out there, Russell Jr., I mean, Gary Russell Jr. be talking all this shit. Do you remember how many years this man said that he wouldn't fight, that he was okay with fighting once a year? Do you guys remember those days, or that just me?
Are we supposed to answer or just let you go? I don't know.
Are these rhetorical
yeah,
questions?
I don't know, man. I don't know.
I don't want to answer.
It's his time at Rikers, so, you know, I don't know. I mean,
I don't want to start answering, man.
He's got that pin card over there.
Let me burn. I don't want to interrupt you.
No, go ahead, baby. Yo, bless me with that knowledge, because as far as I remember, this man for fucking many years said that he was okay fighting once a year. That's what fucking Robert used to talk for many years here.
Who's
oh,
the
yeah,
guy who wants to fight for once a year?
Who is that? Like Mayweather or something?
Russell.
Now he's calling out Devin Haney. Now he's calling out Devin Haney and Tank Davis.
He's calling Jesus Mighty Joseph now. He called everybody. Jesus Mighty Joseph, the ghost of Montezuma. This man is fighting the world right now. What the fuck is going on? Is it the full moon? What is it? The motherfucking Mars in retrograde? What's going on? The lines is fucking the stars align? Come on, man. Any fucking way. So Crawford needs somebody there with a fucking record. At least Brooke bring that name to the table like me and Ken. So Crawford is 33, bro. Something really got to transpire. I'm putting Crawford for more than the eye test said that this man could be pound for pound or whatnot. And still, baby, the record's not there. Why do you think Wilder got so much hate? And everybody knows he's ready
you
to
hate
come
Wilder.
And see that. The
oh,
third, baby,
God.
The record don't show it. 33 years old.
You must,
Gamboa rock him. Oh,
must,
Gamboa rock him. Come on, man.
You must
go
have
ahead,
been
burn, man, burn.
Wilder got knocked out. My fault.
Huh? What you said, well, Lee,
said,
what
I
you
said,
said
you must have been. I said you must have been celebrating when Wilder got knocked out.
Baby, but that facade, that mirage, that fucking make believe, come to an end sooner or later. Yo, this man not even coming back. I don't think the fight's coming, bro. Eddie already poking Bob to see him get the fucking Joshua going before Joshua get knocked the fuck out again. So that's all it is, baby boy. All these mirages, all these mafia believe, all that shit coming to the light, baby, too late. All the new generation, all these cats, they pushing hard. They want the spotlight. How long these motherfuckers going to be fighting mini mania more? Ridiculous. I love you guys. I don't have a lot to say. Shout out to the Chew Cake. Shout out to the world. And I'm Maori.
Georgie.
Georgie.